Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one, Dudley Oz, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Oh, AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete. Really good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to Raw tonight. That's right, normal service has resumed, and that is Michael Hamlet's on holiday again. The Raw after... The Raw after WrestleMania, Sidge. That wave just keeps on rolling, doesn't it? The momentum is definitely with WWE right now.
It absolutely is. We went to the Raw after WrestleMania, and, you know, certain matches happened. Oh, forget about them. That weren't particularly loud. It just felt huge. The scope of it feels absolutely enormous. There's some intriguing directions, particularly around the Intercontinental title scene that I'm really looking forward to. There's just a really good feeling around that company. And they continue. I'm not trying to be too cynical, because I genuinely had a really good time with WWE over WrestleMania week. They continue to have that bar. Like, it's the answer to AEW's ills. Just be rubbish
for
20 years. It's this weird warped way in which things happen. This is a tangent, bear with me. So I was on X, not much, but I was on X a little bit over the weekend, and I watched that AJ Styles, Kevin Owens and Rey Mysterio.
Yes,
I had a really good time with it on SmackDown. And I saw a little bit of discourse, and I'm thinking, what? Everyone says AJ Styles was washed. Look at that performance. I was like, but he was.
Yeah.
We did the calc and the trig, and I don't think he's had a particularly great, capital G, might even trouble match of the air lists match since that one he had at the PC with Danielson in the Intercontinental title tournament.
I remember, yeah.
Incredible stuff. I don't think he's worked at that level since, and it's been almost 4 years.
Has he had a really good standout WrestleMania match other than the Boneyard, of course?
No. People like the LA Knight one more than me, but I don't think anyone would say that'll go down as a classic or anything like that.
It's not been, top of my list of like, well, now we're back from Mania, I best go back and watch that.
He has a really good, lively, exciting, super creative triple threat match. And then it's that time The Miz had a great match against, who was it? Ricochet, maybe?
Someone really, it was Ricochet, because he was bumping all over the place for him.
Was it Natalya versus Rhea Ripley?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, thought they were bad. Where have you been for the last however many years?
Yeah.
So they still get that curve. It's honestly, the weird solution to getting over is to be a bit average for years and years and years, and then you're going to take people by surprise. Wrestling fans just get very normalized to very, very, very good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, wrestlers are trying too hard. You might as well slum it, phone it in, be in a state of physical decline, and then just have a really great outing, and then you're just going to, the narrative's going to turn on you like that.
I have that a lot with Randy Orton, when people are like, check it out, he's trying. What? Shouldn't that be the bare minimum? But yeah, I get where you're coming from with that.
But no, what I'm saying is I still benefit from the curve. It's a level like hotter than white hot.
Yeah, you text me about the ratings when they dropped. Wild.
Absolute insanity. No, they're doing incredibly well. Super fun to be a part of that atmosphere, you know, doing the promos. And as a result, genuinely, I'm not dreading this episode of Raw.
Yeah.
There's a match I'm really looking forward to. And there's just that feeling if the crowds can be hot. I got wrong-footed by the Sami Zayn, Gunther, Chad Gable stuff. And it was so necessary for my enjoyment to the point where they've bought some of my investment. They've allowed me to have a word with myself and say, don't be so cynical. Don't have this blanket. Oh, it's going to go this way. Of course it is. Because it didn't. And it's really refreshing that it didn't.
We're going to talk more about this. We've got a live Q&A on YouTube later on today. That'll be out as a podcast in the next few days. Just how much the sea change has happened comparing WWE and AEW. I got a real sense watching. We'll talk about Collision later on as well. Got a real sense of like, there's some great wrestling happening in front of me here, but it is just wrestling happening in front of me. I felt nothing for so many different people, and it's like so surreal now to be in a state where I'm like, I know I'm more WWE leaning, but even for me to be like, I'm excited about this tonight and this. Oh, I forgot there's that going to be happening as well. It's very strange considering what we've gone through, even just for the length of time we've been doing this podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
But let's talk about the thing we're most looking forward to, because they're at the Bell Centre, or Bell End Centre as I like to call it. No offence to the Canadians. In Montreal tonight, of course. Sami Zayn's homecoming is what they're billing it as. He's putting the IC title on the line against Chad Gable. You and I got a little bit nervous just when Chad Gable walked behind Sami Zayn after they won their tag match on the Raw after Mania. It's going to happen eventually, but is this the night that Chad Gable turns? Is he going to ruin Sami Zayn's homecoming?
There's a million... there's several directions.
There's about three directions,
There's about three directions they can go here, and I'm fascinated in the permutations. If they want to turn Chad Gable heel, is there a better location? Imaginable. But it depends on how they do it, how they execute the turn, if they execute the turn. So one permutation is that Sami Zayn wins, and it's like, and Chad Gable's like, not again. This cannot keep happening to me. I need to take some shortcuts, blah, blah, blah. And he could refuse a handshake or intimate that it's on the horizon. And then you have the suspense of the when. Could he cheat to win the title?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be pure heat. And, you know, the good thing about... It's usually not great having... Well, it's mixed. It's sometimes having a knowledge of the inner workings, backstage reports can work against something. In that, well, we knew Sami Zayn, as of January, was not meant to be Intercontinental Champion. Therefore, in my head, I'm thinking, right, well, they can play with this as much as they want. There's no fixed plan to strap them up for this long. Could they just do this two-week thing to get Chad Gable...
Mad considering how long Gunther held it for as well.
Exactly. And maybe refreshing as a result. Yeah. Could they use Sami as a transitional champion to drop it in, of all places, Montreal, his hometown? We know how... The people react to him as well.
Because that wouldn't be like turn off heat, would it? Like they used to get of just like, oh, what's the bloody point?
It would be one of those where it's like you'd get the odd dickhead on X, but you get several dickheads on X saying, oh, thought this was a new era. Now babyfaces are jobbing in their hometown. I think at this point you've reached that threshold of full trust in the process.
Yeah.
Of right, okay, we're not burying Sami Zayn. We don't want everyone to have a crap time. We are trying to use this location in this match and the story we've burned through so far to create a platform for like a genuinely incredible heel turn on the part of Chad Gable. I wouldn't blanket turn around and go, same old WWE, jobbing people out in the hometown. This would be incredibly effective. It always used to just be spiteful.
Yes.
Really low stakes. They've just lost. It's like, why? Why have you done this? This would be really productive, potentially really effective. The volume in that building genuinely gives you chills. To think, Christ, are they going to do it here? So there's going to be loads of suspense here. And the best thing about it, on top of, could go every which way, they could do the turn before the finish, could cheat to win, after the finish of, well, I've run out of my patience now. Is there any two wrestlers on that Raw brand currently, other than obviously Cody Rhodes, better equipped to just get everything out of that atmosphere? This could be genuinely, given enough time, adverts are always a consideration, but given the stakes, the unpredictable outcome, the location, and the level of talent involved, this could be a sleeper for like at least a TV match of the year.
Honestly, I'm just so excited for this. The moment they announced it on last week's Raw, I was like you say, running through the permutations in my head. I think if I was going to bet on it, I'd say probably Sammy retains, and at bare minimum, like you say, you get the, Chad's a little bit more pissed than just losing a match here. I think maybe he snaps and attacks him. But the more you were talking there, the more I was like, oh, especially considering the lore, Sami Zayn gets injured, not flinging his arms about as part of his entrance, but even during the match, and Chad Gable slowly like, your ankle's not looking great there, brother.
Yeah, they could do it so subtly as well.
Just that, and yeah, maybe I do want, I came in here not expecting to say this, maybe I do want Chad Gable, because it's not like, oh, legacy IC titles back in the bin. It's going from one incredible wrestler in Gunther to Sami Zayn to Chad Gable. There's no, that's a flat line, that is.
To go from the legacy and the credibility that's been restored to the Intercontinental title to the ultimate, where the hell did that come from? Babyface, feel good triumph, to potentially what a transgressive real heel turn that just kills people in Montreal. You could complete wrestling with this one storyline.
Yeah.
You could generate every single emotion, make the story so important with just these three players across what they've done in 2024. You could complete wrestling.
We could get the trifecta tonight.
Yeah.
Chad doing that, I mean, just a Chad match with Sammy. There's going to be a Drew McIntyre promo as well. Like you say, yeah, angles, Punk as well. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I think it'd be really exciting to see them try and do something like this. And as well now, with the other thing I was going to say, with the world titles now being split, you're like, oh, well, in your head, long term, oh, it's not like Sammy's got now to do now if he, let's say, loses the rematch with Chad at Backlash, for example. You go like, well, Money in the Bank's coming up. You've got, I know you've got, the line starts at Priest as the champion, and you've got Drew and Punk right at the front of that line. Sammy is a Money in the Bank holder or as a title challenger. Like, I wouldn't be against that either. Him as a world champion would be something amazing to see. Something obviously we haven't seen. Cannot wait for this match tonight. Main event, presumably. Especially if you do that, people might think, oh, God, maybe they are going to switch the title.
Yeah, I would put this in the main event. Absolutely.
We've also got a huge return on tonight's show. It was teased on last week's, and I'll be honest, I got confused which brand he was on, so I may have talked a little bit about this on the SmackDown preview. But Sheamus returns tonight. Good news as well. I know we're in that post-WrestleMania lull. Not necessarily in terms of the booking, just in terms of just how you feel as a fan now. Of like, oh, Christmas is over.
Yeah.
I've got three games for you.
Oh, yeah.
Including the Raw Riddle, which I'll try not to forget once. But yeah, great to see Sheamus back. And it's the age-old thing, Chris Jericho. Go away. I know this was an injury, but go away. And now I'm buzzing to see him back.
It's one of those as well. Like, I think that injury arrived at the worst possible time because no one was kind of bored of Sheamus.
No, exactly.
Even. He was enjoying his peak, really, as an in-ring wrestler. I think there was a collective realization of, this guy has just spent however many years turning in really, really, really good performances in matches that were like shockingly stiff by the WWE in-ring standard. And we've taken it for granted because obviously the booking, his entire career up until 2 years ago was coincided with like the decline of Vince McMahon.
Mm.
And it's really hard to sort of separate the wrestler from the booking. Like, they're so, like, the synergy there. It's just hard to recognize, oh, this guy's great, when he's not invested in the character.
Yeah.
You don't even know what the character can achieve what the wrestler, because there's no meritocracy, etc., etc. So I really hope he's as healed as he could possibly be, as motivated as he could possibly be. That's never been in doubt. Like, he's such a grafter. Do they turn him heel? Cody needs heel opponents. Sheamus versus Cody. Know how brutal Sheamus is in the ring and just how great Cody is at selling and creating an emotional atmosphere. I think Sheamus would be a wonderful counterpart as a heel, as a dance partner.
You're spoiled for choice. Now you put the title on Cody. Like, I could list off, judging on what happened on SmackDown, one would assume AJ Styles wins the one-on-one with LA Knight this week to be the one to face Cody at Backlash. Perfect first opponent. Fine match. He's not dropping the title. There we go. Solo Sikoa is always going to be there as a great challenger for Cody. And now, yeah, if you want to turn people like Sheamus heel, yeah, it'd be great.
For me, at the minute, Gunther would be... We've had that long-held fantasy booking Gunther versus Cody at Berlin, but you need opponents before that. For me, in terms of things we haven't seen, in terms of characters who I think could maybe do with a refresh, I would have Sheamus as a heel and then Kevin Owens as a heel.
Yes, love that.
Because Kevin Owens...
And you can do the Orton stuff as well, because people are crying out for that, I suppose.
Kevin Owens is an incredible... He's just an incredible wrestler. He's an incredible babyface. He's played it for years.
He even got over coming out with a silly title that they've invented on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was a team, maybe. I forget. I'll talk about it on SmackDown review, but...
But he's never... under Triple H on the main roster played heel yet. You could argue that's his best role.
That's a good point, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
So it's like, it's potential to be one of his best runs ever. So I'd love to see that. But for Sheamus, I would turn him heel.
Obviously in the interim, if you want to just keep him babyface till, let's say, after the draft in a few weeks, you sense, we were there when they were like, Shinsuke Nakamura's out here, or Indy Hartwell's out here, and we're like, well, something's happening there.
Yeah, because they're not the featured player here.
No. So one would assume, just looking, let's just say, for argument's sake, he faces Jinder Mahal, for example. Jinder's just out in the ring, and obviously we know Sheamus is coming back, but here he is. But, that's no fun.
It's time to play the game! Time to play the game!
Did it, did it, did it. Who should Sheamus broke kicks the head off of?
Snappy.
Yep. So I've just got the entire current roster here because it's draft season. We'll circle back to this in due course, I promise, for our favourite brand. But I'm scrolling through. When you're ready, tell me stop. I'll tell you how many people I can see on my screen. Of course, there's like commentators and stuff on here. If it's them, we'll just... That doesn't count as a skip. But Pro Evo rules. Yeah. So three potential guesses, but if you skip to the last one, then that is officially your guess. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Pick a number between 1 and 6.
4.
Okay. Josh Briggs.
No.
No. Hard-hitting affair, though, after that triple threat. Okay.
Stop.
Right. I mean, I'll just say 1 and 2 because there's 6 people on my screen, but 4 of them are women. Okay. So you've got between 1 and 2, and either of these could work, actually.
2.
JD McDonagh.
Oh, yeah.
Stick.
I'd like to see his head get taken off.
He's been doing some good stuff in terms of just getting battered recently, JD McDonagh. And you could have a ready-made thing of like, oh, Sheamus, yeah. Judgment Day, etc.
Especially with Drew in that mix as well, with Priest. Because they probably will revisit the Drew Sheamus relationship in some way, I imagine.
A pair of bastards.
Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
I don't like him particularly, but JD McDonagh, at least WWE have recognized his value as a bad energy dude who gets his ass kicked and it's quite cathartic. And is there anybody better really in WWE at kicking ass than Sheamus?
Potential tag
team. Very few.
And your tag team name for you, by the way, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Shoe. So, thoughts?
Not many.
And they could say, watch out for the shoe. That's what could be there.
Yeah, that's new.
That thing, isn't it? I used to love that when WWE were being so bloody petty. Do you remember one year they were like,
Total Divas is back, and it's all Elite. Where's that come from?
Why are you doing that?
you can't claim that word. I'm sorry. You can try, but come on. We've also got another match for Andrade tonight. And when, you know, Andrade's not just, but he's coming back to be reintroduced to WWE fans. And when you do that, you put them in the ring against one of your best workers. Hence why he's facing Dominic Mysterio tonight. Yeah. He's going to kill him.
He's going to kill him.
That spinning back elbow's tits.
It's absolutely tits. It's absolutely tits. They met Andrade, and it's like the... It's like a bit of a secret shame. I don't know.
The awkward truth.
Yes, I'm just jet-lagged still. Yeah. Is that...
I started a sentence over the weekend and just gave up on it halfway through. I mean, you know what, never mind.
Is that the secret shame is that fans tend not to care about his really well-executed matches. But what you have now is... a wrestler they tend to care about in Dominic more often than not. We went, like, his match died a death. That 2-on-3, maybe it was just like, just get Cena out.
Yeah, they were chanting, weren't they? I was like, it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. Just wait, enjoy the...
You've got 3 hours to fill here, and you can only put The Rock on. I mean, we'd have put The Rock on, but, you know, all of it.
That's probably the aberration. I think Dominic mainly gets reactions. He has these matches that people sometimes look over. Like, you had that one with Kevin Owens on SmackDown a few weeks, months ago, where it's like, no one cares. That's going too long. And some of the work is actively bad. But this is a Montreal crowd.
Yes, that's a
good
point.
They go pretty crazy for virtually everything. They will really enjoy the panto of booing Dominic. And they've got a guy in Andrade who, if he can do nothing else, he can very crisply kill people in that ring. So no, this should be good. Obviously Andrade is winning. Dominic does jobs to everyone, as he should. That's his character. I'm not convinced this will be the launching point for the will it ever go right for Andrade on American TV. I've seen very little evidence of it, but in and of itself this should be a lot of fun.
He could have a great match with heel Chad Gable.
Or
if he's
Chad,
heel.
The good thing about heel Chad Gable is that he can have great matches with everyone.
Yeah, me. We've also got the new number one contender, Jey Uso, taking on a different member of the Judgment Day before he goes on to face Damian Priest. I'm talking about Finn Balor. The entrance is fun.
Yeah.
Jey Uso.
Yeah. Increasingly, the in-ring isn't. But Balor's really good
one
still.
One of the few star ratings I kind of agreed with when it comes to the Wrestling Observer over the week.
I thought it was generous, to be honest. It was such a... it was a catastrophe. Like, even, like, the proper Bloodline stands, i.e. you, yeah, were like, bit crap, that.
Yeah, I'm not...
really big crap.
This is a perfect example. So, feeling a little bit sad on Thursday night, and thankfully I'd seen WWE dropped the top 40 moments from WrestleMania 40.
Ah.
So I thought I'd watch that. And it made me want to go back and watch large parts of WrestleMania 40. I want to go back, obviously, and watch the two main events. Yeah, I want to watch Sammy Gunther, knowing what I know now. Even the Wild Ladder match and the I can't believe I'm saying this, the Final Testament match, because I want to hear full Snoop. I heard a tiny bit of him running commentary on, I think it was AOP, just swinging kendo sticks all over the place, and it did... I'll add a lot to it. I'll give him that.
I watched the Triple Threat, just because I really had a great time with it, and my son loves his Prime, so it was like, right, this all makes sense. And then I watched Bayley and Io Sky, just because it was next. I thought, I'm going to watch this. It was fantastic.
Did you see Adam Blair, who always takes care of the...
Data.
Thank you, on the Dynamite preview.
Lovely to meet him, by the way, as it was to meet so many of you.
Yes, thank you so much to everyone who came, and particularly those who came to the live show, of course. Hopefully we'll do more of those in the future, but we'll stop banging on about it for now. He was drinking, and shout out to Matt Raines, who tagged me, so I made sure I saw this, WrestleMania Prime.
I saw that, but
I didn't see that anywhere.
I only saw it on X after
and
the
bought
fact.
Up half the bloody stock. But what I was going to say, I'm watching this WrestleMania 40 moments. I'm like, oh God, I want to watch that match. And I want to watch the full Jade Cargill, the supergroup entrance, all that. The LA Knight AJ Styles match had the finish. And I went, cool, don't need to watch that match.
Yeah.
Same with Jimmy and Jay. It was just like, yep, there we go. There's the betrayal and there's the finish. Thank you very much.
Yep.
But it feels like I like Jey Uso as a first challenger for Damian Priest. And, well, we'll talk more about Drew in a little while. And Finn Balor's clearly just having the best time in the Judgment Day right now.
Yeah, loving his life. Look, this will be all right. Yeah. No, I've been quite positive, I think, by my standards on this preview. This will be a loud gentleman's three. Again, though, I feel like I've been corrupted by you and Hamflet, or maybe just the genuine joy of watching this spectacle live. I feel betrayed certain sensibilities of mine. But watching the Montreal crowd.
Yep.
Do the Jey Uso thing, it'd be class.
You want to book a flight out there, don't you?
Nah.
Not quite that far. Okay.
Oh my God. I'd never want to fly again, man.
No, me neither.
I had an all right experience on flight out. It was horrendous. The turbulence. Mm. Just
Meg was good, though, wasn't it?
The Meg was good. The Meg was a lot of fun.
I watched the first one on Sidge's recommendation.
I've had the wildest film watching experience. On the ride out, I watched The Meg.
Uh-huh.
Then I watched Rampage.
Oh, yeah, you said about that when we were waiting for immigration.
And I was like, this is fun, but I've seen enough of terrible CGI, and I feel stupid. I've got ages left. Then I watched Killers of the Flower Moon, which really affected me. What a great, great film that was.
I need to watch that.
Then on the way back, I watched Scary Movie, and then I fell asleep. But subsequent to that, I was looking through. I was like, I need some nostalgic, incredibly easy, that requires no thought whatsoever. So I was doing the scroll. Scary Movies. Shall I cheese all that again?
Ah.
And then it was just on my Prime last night, so I watched that. So I've watched Rampage, The Meg, Killers of the Flower Moon, Scary Movie, 12 Angry Men.
Uh-huh.
Cheese all that. It's like the ultimate pinnacle of critical acclaimed. It's the absolute schlock of all schlock.
I know, I've never watched 12 Angry Men, but I know obviously what it's about. You just reminded me, I heard some bloke in one of the toilets in WrestleMania.
Talking about the 1957
he said,
timeless classic.
He said, what the hell is 12 Angry Men all about? And I was like, probably a jury, I'd guess. I loved snippets of America. I'll talk you through my flight experience. My main flight experience was, my knees hurt.
Yeah, I'm a short arse and my knees hurt, so I can't even begin to imagine.
How would you like to sleep sitting upright? Well, that's not possible. So my flight experience was, obviously, get on the plane, check the thing, look through the entire A-Z list, Mission Impossible, the new Mission Impossible is on there, obviously watching that. Then Michael Sidgwick has recommended this to me, so I'll watch The Meg. Did I watch anything else on the flight out there? I can't remember, I was just in a state of euphoria. And then I told you about my experience on the flight back. I was like, do I watch Killers of the Flower Moon? I watched American Sniper.
Yeah.
Love that film. Brilliant. And I started to watch Dune. And I think I was just not in the right state of mind. I was like, what the bloody hell's going on here? Timothy Chalamet's putting his hand in a box and getting a bit upset. And it's like a lot of information. They have to establish the world and worlds that you're living in. And I think I was just in the wrong set of mind.
You have to watch it at least on a good telly, at least.
Yes, I started watching Oppenheimer on my mother and father-in-law's big telly.
Oh, right,
over
okay.
The weekend. I was like, yeah, probably a good job I didn't watch this on a tiny chair screen. So I decided, right, enough of Dune. Oh, I watched A Quiet Place. What? I decided this is the time to finally get around to watching it. And really enjoyed that. And then I thought, how do we sign this trip off? Probably straight out of Compton. So there we go. Done it.
I was loving it, man. I did this thing where it's like, Scary Movie.
I love that.
I'm exhausted now. How has this held my attention? I was meant to just drift off.
Yeah.
So I know what I need to do. I need to watch something that's legitimately good, maybe a bit slow, and then fall asleep. So I started watching Her.
Yes.
And then I fell asleep, and then I woke up an hour into it. I was like, this is getting really good. So I have to watch some crap now because I'm getting invested. I want to go to sleep. But
I'd be afraid if I watched Her and I sort of fell asleep with Scarlett Johansson whispering in my ears, then we could have problems. So
what kind of problem?
Excuse me, stewardess, I need another blanket.
Hold up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Getting back to the Raw after the Raw after WrestleMania, though. What should we talk about next? Oh, yeah. Rhea Ripley is going to respond to Liv Morgan's attack last week, which was class. She proper just bounced a chair off her head. And I also...
Oh, my God.
I was a sucker for the Dom pushes camera away from... Downed Rhea Ripley, camera spins around, walks out into packed arena. Oh my God, this is amazing. Liv Morgan, a good first post-WrestleMania opponent for Rhea Ripley. It's a good story there. And fans, you know, Rhea Ripley's got her fans, and Liv Morgan has certainly got hers as well.
She has. I mean, online, I wish it would make more noise in the buildings. if you trace what's happening here, it all seems set up for her to lose.
Yes.
And then do a formal full heel turn.
Yeah. Yeah, right now she's just angry at Rhea Ripley, who... She's not a heel, but she's not pure babyface.
Yeah. At some point you do have to ask, has she got it?
Mm.
Let's be realistic. She's been in that system for a long, long time. And again, because under Vince, it was just so horrific for so long, he completely destroyed, like, truisms, like... Now, the cream always rises to the top. Not there, it doesn't.
No.
You cannot get a reflection of how good somebody is in that system. It's impossible. She's obviously been out with an injury.
Yeah.
Or she just iced. I can't recall off the top of my head.
There was that stuff with weed, wasn't there? But I think it was an injury that she was out
Either
with.
Way, she had that, one of the real low points. I was like, I'm still fighting for the title of hater here. What's this feud with Ronda Rousey all about? Yeah. It stinks. I thought Triple H was meant to be good. Huh? So we'll just breeze right past that. Obviously, given how many people like her online, probably is worth a shot. Anyone who failed under Vince is worth a shot, probably.
Yeah.
We'll see. At some point, you kind of have to ask yourself, has she got it?
Mm.
And the thing about WWE now is that you're going to get... as good a chance as possible with Triple H in this form, with the Fed this hot.
Mm.
Go for it. My personal opinions are that she isn't that great, but who the hell knows?
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know.
It feels like this is kind of, it's weird, this going into a Raw with so much advertised. It's sort of like they've taken a lot from AEW, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, the stacked nature of, because, you know, the Raw after WrestleMania was the Raw after WrestleMania. Who knows what's going to happen? But now they get into this groove of, no, you'll get at least three of these really good matches that you want to see that's building on from last week, and you'll get this person, this person, this person. This feels like just more of a formality of Rhea saying officially, right, me and you, backlash sort of thing.
They're not wrestling tonight?
Not as far as I'm aware, but... it'd be nice to see Liv Morgan back in the ring, showcasing what she can do. I mentioned promos there. Cody Rhodes set to be on this show. A bit up in the air, obviously, with the draft. I don't know how this is exactly going to work. Cody's Cody. So you sense he's going to be on every show. I wouldn't be surprised if he's advertised for NXT tomorrow. And I've not got a problem with that whatsoever. Because he's
technically, I suppose he's the SmackDown champion, but he's the guy, obviously, in WWE right now. And I think when he posted that schedule of his, he's coming over here in a few days, I think, in fact, for the live tour. He seemed to be appearing on both shows. He doesn't know his opponent's going to be yet. But, yeah, it's one of those things, like you say, all the years of WWE doing what it did to Raw, and I'm sat here going, Triple H ran show. Cody Rhodes opening promo to open the show? Fine by me.
Yeah. If I'm going to have anyone welcome me to Monday Night Raw, it's the most universally popular babyface of the century so far.
Mm. Like, dropped a reference to Brandy on SmackDown as well.
It did, I saw that. That Class. Was good. It's total honeymoon stuff, as it should be. I'm still not over the sight of him with the title. I've said this on several podcasts. Save wrestling for me. In two companies, it's almost hard to determine which is the more impressive feat.
Yeah.
How bad WWE was versus how impossible it was for AEW to exist. Smashed both of them, clocked both of them. It's just like, seems like such the best guy. Don't be parasocial. Mm. Seems like one of the good ones. Everything he did for the Huber family on top of literally everything else he's been doing as champ.
Read a really nice thing as well. Kenny McIntosh of Inside the Ropes messaged Cody after he won. And Cody like immediately messaged back. Congratulations from all of us here at What Culture, we should say, to Kenny McIntosh on getting engaged. But yeah,
and as part of Stuart as well.
Yes.
He's a really, really nice fella.
Fantastic. Really good news. But yeah, exactly. Certainly not for a while, I'll not get tired of just seeing Cody Rhodes standing in a ring with a microphone without a title.
I was
on
just about
his
to say the same thing. Just keep it going. Yeah. It'll probably get boring at some point, but the visual's still surreal. You should luxuriate in it. If I do the boring admin.
We've never seen this version of Cody Rhodes be a heel in WWE. That's eventually, presumably, where we're going to get to.
Yeah.
Not for a long while yet.
No, hopefully not for a long time
yet. Merch sales.
No. I guess he could do the easy thing, pump up LA Knight and AJ Styles, equal measure. Looking forward to who wins on SmackDown or whatever.
Yeah. Just hype up the draft, which I'm weirdly excited about again. I always get this. It's moving people around that are all interacting anyway, and people have had matches.
You're an easy group, so it's fine.
But, I mean, there's potential this year for quite possibly the greatest draft of all time, but anyway.
Maybe say that for tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
What do you mean?
I know you said you were looking forward to Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. I think the match you're probably looking forward to more is the further development of how dark is Candice LeRae going to get? Whilst Indy Hartwell sits there and goes, what the bloody hell's going on here, Candice? They're taking on Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri. Like we've been saying, the Candice LeRae heel turn has gone, like, it's like got weaker and weaker each week in terms of the bad stuff she's willing to do. So, like, first time she's obviously, that's what they're leaning on here.
She's completely bungled this.
She's horrible to Maxine Dupri, really OTT, like, Jesus, all right. Then I think the next week was the injury angle, wasn't it, with Chance and Carter. Then, well, the Raw after Mania, she just slightly tripped Roxanne Perez, who then cheated herself and beat Indy Hartwell.
Yeah.
Just get on with Indy, either go in heel with her. I think this is the week they do it. I think
It's about bloody time.
Yeah,
Candice. But again, if you look at the escalation, or the opposite of escalation.
Oh, one week she just put a foot on the rope or something.
Yeah. I think now it's like your local sports team sucks. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
It's going from, it's a bit harsh to, it's just every heel thing I've ever seen in my life. I do not care. Indy Hartwell, I felt sorry for her. She's like, you're a rare piss on Cat. Mm. I said at the time, like, you should be able to at least hear, like, we were eating popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the apathy in the air.
Well, not just
so suffocating that it blanketed the noise of ambience. Like, I couldn't even hear my own popcorn rustle.
Well, it was better than that. It was free popcorn. Because Nicholas had bought in.
Yeah.
And we were like, we'll have that, obviously.
It was very salty.
Oh, it was.
I like sweet, then sweet and salted, and then salted.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of salted, but in that, it's just hoovering it up.
Yeah.
I can eat it. I'm going to get some more of this.
I forgot to eat as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would have eaten way earlier in the day.
Tuesday was Ish Kabibble. Shout out to Eddie, by the way. He recommended Ish Kabibbles to us.
One day we went to the Mexican place, but we ate early.
Yeah, that was it.
It's one of those where it's like American portions are like, bloody hell, I don't need anything else. And it's like,
I lost weight in America.
Did you?
Yeah, I weighed myself when I got back. And I think purely because A, of all the walking around we were doing, and B, yeah, the fact that the portions are so big in America, it's amazing.
I only need two meals.
We only have two meals, yeah. We have like an 11s and about a 4 p.m. And you're like, and that's me
yep.
for the day. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, let's make this interesting. Let's have Candice LeRae try and get Indy Hartwell to cheat or go into the match saying, you need to cheat to win. Indy Hartwell will be like, I'm not like that, Candice, I'm sorry. And then just have Ivy Nile turn on Maxine Dupri because Ivy Nile just kicks ass.
Yes.
I like her as a heavy for Candice. And then you could potentially have Candice in a world title match down the road because they've really...
Well, she is superb, isn't she?
They've really underutilized.
Isn't she, Hamflip? Superb is the word you use?
Underutilized her.
Superb, kiss my ass.
I've meant to mention to you, on the news this morning, we're talking about the draft. Talk more about it tomorrow. And people like Melo and Ilya Dragunov appear to be a lock to move to the main roster, which completely makes sense. And Andy went, other people kind of up in the air. Roxanne Perez is one of them. I was like, how? How is that? She's not one of the first names to go onto the main roster. She's ready. She's done everything. I know she's champion, but she's ready. She's done everything.
I don't even hear this, man. I'm not going to ask you about it. Please, I love you, but be quiet.
But speaking of the best wrestling show of the week, NXT... Draft's going on.
Yeah.
We saw Roxanne Perez, as I said. We saw Ilya Dragunov. But which other NXT stars could pop up on the main roster?
It's time to play the game!
Which NXT stars could be on Raw tonight? I figured... Bron was on SmackDown, although he's halfway there, obviously, already.
He's pretty much there now.
Yeah. And, yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff of, like, Ivar showed up. And speaking of which, Ivar versus Obafemi.
Oh, my God.
God, I'm still jet-lagged.
And AOP in NXT. So there's a chance of other people
carrying cross to that. Just, I don't know what you do with there.
I got very depressed watching. I decided in my head, Cameron Grimes has got to go back to NXT because they are doing, if they're just feeding him to Bron. I'll talk more about it on the SmackDown review, but just put him back on NXT.
Doing an absolute niche with them, aren't they?
Yeah. So I have the NXT roster open in front of me.
Yeah, but I'm not looking.
I'm going to scroll through, and as a bit of a potential teaser for this person being drafted to the main roster, this is who we're picking to face. I don't know, pick someone who's quite good but never pops up on Raw.
Someone who just loses on Raw.
Oh, I just saw Apollo Crews's
yep.
face on the Raw roster. So
that's sorry, what Apollo. Then. Just does jobs.
You should probably see this one coming, shouldn't he? I'm scrolling through the NXT roster page. When you're ready, tell me to stop.
Stop.
Well, give me a number between 1 and 12.
Jesus Christ. They're all bloody women that whose names I've forgotten, probably. 5.
5. I will say, if you'd have said 4, it's the guy, oh God, his name completely escapes me, who's the manager of...
it's Robert Stone.
Okay, Miles Bourne. Busy with No Quarter Catch. Yes, that's the right one, isn't it? I always get
yeah,
that in
it's
the...
a bit of a career death sentence that these days. We'll just twist and move on.
Okay.
Stab.
Okay. Yeah, 1 and 12 again.
11. Lawn Rivera.
Oof, if you'd have said 10, I really wish you'd have said 10 there, brother. Or 9.
I meant 10, sorry.
No. No, rules are rules.
Okay. You always adhere to the rules.
I do indeed.
Yeah.
9 would have been Tony D.
Ah, God.
10 would have been Trick.
Oh, my God.
Actually, Trick popping up on Raw would be class.
Oh, God, I know.
And they can sell the steel cage match we've got coming up this week on NXT. I'm getting ahead of myself. You picked 11 and you've got Valentina Ferroz.
Okay, I'll twist.
Okay, it's one all more. On this one.
All on the line. Stop. I forgot I was meant to say stop then.
1 and 12.
3.
I'm not going to say who it is. I'm going to turn the screen. I haven't touched this, have I?
No.
Number 3.
It's Stacks! Oh, Stacks, sir!
I like the fact you're going to bring the family to main roster. You're like, first person to introduce them to. Not him. The underboss, Stacks. Cool. Stacks on Raw tonight.
Can you imagine, man?
I better book him an extra flight if he's on the Raw review. Actually, no, he'll be flying. I'll just get him to book an earlier flight tomorrow.
No, that'll work when he does get promoted, if he'll still pop in.
Maybe he's too big time for us then.
Maybe. Jeez. It did look $1 million on that picture.
Did look. Smelt great as well. That's reminded me.
A bit creepy.
I've gone to type in there for my... I'll be honest, I don't come up with these riddles myself. I just find them on the internet. But
I'm not looking at your
my brain's yet. So broken, I just typed in Raw Riddle like it's a website I can just go to. But it's now time before we get to our final talking point. Oh, Raw. It's all right, it's Punk and Drew. You want to talk about it? It's now time for...
Raw Riddle.
Okay. Brilliant. Okay. You see a... shut your eyes. You see a boat filled with people, yet there isn't a single person on board. How is that possible? You see a boat filled with people, yet there isn't a single person on board. How is that possible?
Do you have any idea?
Well, maybe you can get a handful's help if he decides to actually show up for work tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll deliver the answer, if I remember, to the Raw Riddle on tomorrow's Raw Review. Finally, I've written Drew McIntyre on the rampage. He was cost the number one contenders match by CM Punk last week, who then proceeded to throw shoes into the crowd. Drew called him a coward. He said he was going to get him on site. And he's said scheduled to have mic time tonight. If you thought he was pissed off last week, my word, what's it going to be like this week? I'm really excited for this.
It's been plotted so well. Like, so goddamn well. Like, that WrestleMania angle was exquisite. Absolutely exquisite, inspired, creative, like really, really well done, perfectly faithful to every character involved. It's one of my favorite things going on in WWE right now. Punk's just magic. He is the guy who can elevate people in stature just by working alongside him. Drew is already there on his own merits. Perfect. The timing's perfect. Mm-hmm. The characters are perfect. The premise is perfect. The way they've plotted it all out is perfect, particularly when no one gave Priest hope and hell's chance of cashing in anytime soon, and they've done that perfectly. So things have been great, so much so that this gives me that peak AEW of, I don't know how to predict this.
No.
That's the weight, the brilliance that will be forthcoming. If I'm WWE, I mean, this match could happen at Backlash.
I was going to say, we
it's one thing for Punk to do that at Mania, and then I think the expectation was, well, he's going to go away, he's injured, but mm-hmm. they brought him back to do some WrestleMania stuff. This has been happening for years. I'm expecting the match to be sooner rather than later, so how do you build that? Maybe Drew could sit cross-legged on the ramp.
Yes.
Full, like, scorched earth character assassination of CM Punk. A total character assassination of CM Punk. I don't know, but I'm excited. What would you do?
Fight a gorilla and then publish the CCTV footage or something like that, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I like you say, I genuinely can't call this. Like, my broken WWE brain says, you know, Drew McIntyre comes out and he gets slop dropped on him because I've been so used to just them being like, oh, we've got these two great characters. Oh, I fumbled both of them. We're in a new world now. We're in the Paul Levesque era and... yeah, not only with the freedom that brings, but the contribution of the two guys here and the sneak peek we've already had of this when it was them two and Seth. Like, there's chaos. Yeah. Brilliant chaos, but chaos nonetheless. Drew, he's already out for blood when he lost the world title. Now he's further away than ever from the world title picture, and it's all because of this guy. And like you said, I don't know what the status of Punk is. Punk could... If you want to do this, I don't think they are, but Punk could hide behind, oh, I'd love to fight you, but I'm not medically cleared, so sorry. And Drew has to take his frustrations out on someone, everyone, anyone, gets himself suspended, does something insane. I don't know. Someone's wearing a 3X hoodie backstage just, and he jumps them destroys them. And it's like, oh no, it's, I don't know, Big Body Javi, whose face I've just seen on the website. You know, stuff like that. Or, yeah, you go, Drew's out there cutting a promo, like a bit like he did prior to the number one contenders match last week. Punk interrupts him. Punk is, you know, comes directly, is beamed in live from the doctor's office, for example. Yeah. He's like, "I've just great news, guys. I've just got the all clear," or something, you know. But yeah, pissed off Drew / banter Drew is the best version of Drew. I saw somewhere, I don't apologize, I've just nicked this again from X, but that's what everyone does. I saw someone pitch, and I don't think this necessarily needs to go all the way down this road, but pitch Drew basically saying, Clash at the Castle, my contract ends with World Wrestling Entertainment. We sort of alluded to that. Hamflet mentioned it a while back, I think. But I love the idea of that because the report seemed to suggest, I mean, anyone with a brain in their head knows Drew's not going anywhere with the way they're booking him here.
With the way that AEW's going as well.
Mm. But yeah, play with it a little bit or, I don't know, yeah, if he's still here, I'm getting out of this company, whatever it may be. Right. I'm just really, there's so many things I'm just really excited for tonight on Raw, which is, I mean, he's becoming more and more the norm, which is very, very surreal. But
he loved her for 7 years, mate.
Yeah. But even more now. Let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch so you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Me and Sidge will be back later on today to review AEW Collision. I'll talk about SmackDown as well in a bit. And we'll hopefully, all three of us, be back to review Monday Night Raw tomorrow. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.